Both of our readings today come from Lauren Artress. She's an Episcopal priest at Grace Cathedral in San Francisco, and she's credited with bringing the labyrinth out of obscurity and championing it in the United States as a tool for spiritual transformation. Here are her words from the book, Walking the Sacred Path, Rediscovering the Labyrinth as Spiritual Practice. Labyrinths are divine imprints. They are universal patterns most likely created in the realm of the collective unconscious, birthed through the human psyche and passed down through the ages. Labyrinths are mysterious because we do not know the origins of their design or exactly how they provide a space that allows clarity. Labyrinths can be found in almost every religious tradition around the world and have been known to the human race for more than 4,000 years. Labyrinths are usually in the form of a circle with a meandering but purposeful path from the edge to the center and back out again, large enough to be walked into. Each has only one path, and once we make the choice to enter it, the path becomes a metaphor for our journey through life, sending us to the center of the labyrinth and then back out to the edge on the same path. The labyrinth is a spiritual tool meant to awaken us to the deep rhythm that unites us to ourselves and to the light that calls us from within. In surrendering to the winding path, the soul finds healing and wholeness. It enlivens the intuitive part of our nature and stirs within the human heart the longing for purpose and living. So why do labyrinths attract people? Because it is a tool to guide healing, deepen self-knowledge, and empower creativity. Walking the labyrinth clears the mind and gives insight into the spiritual journey. It urges action. It calms people in the throes of life's transition. It helps them to see their lives in the context of a path or a pilgrimage. People walking the labyrinth realize that they are not human beings on a spiritual path, but spiritual beings on a human path. To those of us who feel we have untapped gifts to offer, it stirs the creative fires within. To others who are in deep sorrow, the walk gives solace and peace. The experience of the labyrinth is different for everyone because each of us brings different raw materials to the walk. We bring our unique hopes, dreams, history, and longings of the soul. The labyrinth does not engage our thinking minds. It invites our intuitive, pattern-seeking, symbolic minds to come forth. It presents us with only one, but profound choice. To enter the labyrinth is to choose to walk a spiritual path.
The second reading is also from Lauren Artress. Here she tells the story of the early parts of her journey to reclaim the labyrinth. In this story, she travels to the Chartres Cathedral, the home of the medieval-style labyrinth that is the model for our labyrinth here at UUSS. The labyrinth was built at Chartres sometime in the late 12th century. Here are her words. Before I could move ahead with the plan for a labyrinth at Grace Cathedral, I needed to go to the Chartres Cathedral and experience the labyrinth long held in obscurity to find out for myself the depths of its potential. My first glimpse of Chartres Cathedral remains a distinct memory. It stands majestically on a hilltop among miles of wheat fields. At a distance, there is no hint of the city that lies below its awesome presence. Once we saw the cathedral, it took almost an entire half hour to drive up to it. To finally walk through the huge doors into the dark and wondrous monument was one of the highlights of my life. The Chartres Labyrinth is approximately 42 feet in diameter, inlaid in the stone floor. It is barely recognizable since it is usually covered with chairs. Chairs, we realized that we would have to move ourselves. This made me very anxious. At Grace Cathedral, we would not provide a warm welcome to tourists who came in and moved our chairs. We had attempted to contact Chartres officials by letter and fax, but to no avail. It was clear that we were on our own. But we had come all this way, and I knew I had to experience the ancient authenticity of the Chartres Labyrinth firsthand. I counted the chairs. There were 256 of them. I didn't sleep much that night. The next morning, we met as planned. We went into the cathedral and asked at the gift shop if we could speak to a church official. Receiving no response, we decided to take things into our own hands. Two members of our group did not get involved in moving the chairs in case we got in trouble and needed their help. The other four of us moved all the chairs without anyone asking questions. Once the labyrinth was cleared, we held hands and said a brief prayer. I had the honor of entering the labyrinth first. My five friends and colleagues followed. About 25 tourists were in the cathedral at the time. They all walked the labyrinth as well. We were all left undisturbed for about an hour. Only when we began to put the chairs back were we confronted by a cathedral official. I was thrilled to have had the chance to walk the labyrinth in Chartres Cathedral. It was truly powerful and drew me into a meditative state despite my uneasiness about walking it without permission. Everyone in our group felt an awesome, mysterious sense of grounding and empowerment from the walk. However, what attracted my attention most was that the cathedral seemed to come alive with excitement during our walk. The mood became light, fluid, joyful in the dark and quiet space.
There are many types and styles of labyrinths. You can see another example on the inside cover of your order of service. However, the best known of all labyrinths in the Western world is the labyrinth at Chartres Cathedral in France. The path of this labyrinth is about a third of a mile long, from edge to center and back. It has 34 turns. Six of them are right angle turns, and 28 of them are 180 degree turns, which means you turn completely around and go in the opposite direction. The design of this labyrinth is based on sacred geometry, an ancient knowledge of shape and proportion articulated in architectural form. Many medieval cathedrals are based on these principles. It is a lost art of creating a balanced and serene climate for the human psyche and soul. The Chinese art of feng shui is based on similar principles. Who designed the Chartres Labyrinth, how it was built, and how it was used is mostly lost to us. All the records were destroyed in World War II or before. We do know that there was a plate in the center that was made of lead, brass, and gold that was taken out after the French Revolution to be used for cannonballs. Fortunately, the labyrinth itself was left intact, one of the few remaining labyrinths from the medieval era. If Lauren Artrist had not moved those chairs on the Chartres Labyrinth in 1991, we might not be having this conversation, and the power of the labyrinth would have been lost to our era. Until she walked, that labyrinth had been obscured for more than 400 years. But walk she did, and ever since, people have connected with the power of this spiritual path. I have been walking labyrinths and leading labyrinth walks for more than 20 years, and here is my favorite thing about the labyrinth. We do not understand it. We do not know how or why it has an effect on us. To walk the path is to be open to the mystery, to submit to the possibility of transformation. As Artrus says, the labyrinth does not engage our thinking minds. It invites our intuitive, pattern-seeking, symbolic mind to come forth. Now more than ever, we need a spiritual tool that can help us process, engage, and release the energy of the challenges that we face and the difficulties that we take in. I chose to preach about the labyrinth today because I think it is important for such a time as this. There are some people, intelligent and deeply spiritual people, who believe we are at another great turning point in human history. And the ancient path of the labyrinth can offer us support for the spiritual transformation that is being required of us. Here at UUSS, we offer a facilitated walk every first Sunday in our labyrinth in the meadow. We also have a tradition of sharing a labyrinth walk on New Year's Day. When I first came here in 2013, I was surprised and delighted that myself, a labyrinth aficionado and facilitator, had a labyrinth in which to offer my labyrinth ministry. When I introduce people to the labyrinth, I encourage them to walk at their own pace, to use soft eyes to reduce their focus and open up other parts of their being. I tell them that it's okay to pass someone who is going slower than they are. I suggest that they release any expectations they may have about the experience. I also suggest that they may think of a question or challenge that they would like to bring to the labyrinth, but that it's fine to go in with no pre-thought. It's all fine. There is no wrong way to walk the labyrinth. Each person has their own journey, and their journey unfolds. But it is important to have your own journey, to be present and to open to what you experience. If you enter with a closed mind or an analytical perspective, you might as well go for a walk in a straight line. As each person stands at the entrance of the labyrinth, I bless them, and they begin. What happens next is totally unknown, except that you will put one foot in front of the other, or some variation on that, until you are at the center. You can stay as long as you like in the center, and then when you're ready, you return. Once you step into the labyrinth, you are committed to the path. Lauren Artress says, "In surrendering to the winding path, the soul finds healing and wholeness. It enlivens the intuitive part of our nature and stirs within the human heart the longing for our purpose and for living." One of the most important things that I tell labyrinth walkers is to consider everything that happens in the labyrinth to be a metaphor for something that is happening in their life. These words often ring truer for times after they finish their walk, the day after or the week after. One of the metaphors that often come up for people is the issue of passing. Some people feel really stressed about having to pass somebody in the labyrinth. And I tell them that's a metaphor for you in your life. You have total permission to pass in the labyrinth. And if you feel uncomfortable about that, that might be something for you to reflect on. This idea of a labyrinth walk offering metaphors for your own life is very true for me. And I want to share with you the story of my first labyrinth walk. It was in Grace Cathedral in 1994. I was at a conference called The Mystic Soul and was filled with awe at the whole experience. There were a lot of people there. I mean, a lot of people. At the labyrinth walk, there were so many people walking and lined up to walk that you had to wait until someone left the labyrinth until you could go in. I had been giving an orientation, much like the one that I offer now, so that I had a sense of how to go about this business of walking the labyrinth. But I was anxious, especially about the number of people and my worry about doing it right. My first fear was that I would get lost trying to get to the center. I knew that the center was a very important place where the juju happened, though I had been careful and I was told not to be careful to not expect too much. And yet, I expected something. I was worried I wouldn't find my way there. My second fear was that when I got to the center, there wouldn't be any room for me. Metaphors for issues that I was dealing with in my own life. At the time, I really didn't have an awareness of the power of those metaphors, but I sure do now. I pushed through my fears, and when it was my time, I made my way in. And when I did reach the center of that labyrinth, it was one of the largest spaces I had ever been in my life. It felt like all the good intentions, all the spiritual energy of every person who had been in that space was present for me. I felt a deep connection to everyone who had ever walked that labyrinth and all the people that were in the labyrinth with me that day. In my years of facilitating labyrinth walks, I've been witness to others' experience in the labyrinth as a metaphor for something going on in their life. One time, a group was walking, and one person arrived late. This woman had missed the orientation, and I didn't know if she had any background, but the time was growing short, and so I just invited her to enter into the labyrinth. Meanwhile, someone else who was walking the labyrinth had noticed the latecomer and become worried that the latecomer wouldn't understand what to do and would become confused. And that person was so worried about the latecomer that she missed a turn and ended up exiting the labyrinth before she'd ever made a way to the center. She came out of the labyrinth troubled and befuddled. I suggested that she start again. Afterwards, she told me that this was the first time she had realized the cost of focusing so much on the needs of others, so much that she had missed out on her own experience, even when she didn't know if that person really needed her help. Everything that happens in the labyrinth is a metaphor for something going on in your life. Another dimension of the labyrinth I want to talk about is the idea that walking the labyrinth is a form of pilgrimage. In the Middle Ages, Christians were expected to make a trip to the Holy Land, much like Muslims are. But many didn't have the opportunity to make that because they didn't have the resources. The church designated seven cathedrals as representatives of Jerusalem, places where people could make their pilgrimage. And Chartres was one of these pilgrimage sites. People made their way to Chartres from all over Europe, some spending all the money they had to reach their goal, and then not having any resources to return home. So when they came to Chartres, they knew that they would never return to where they came from. The walk into the labyrinth at Chartres was the last phase of their pilgrimage. This tradition of pilgrimage is being revitalized in our lifetimes as people seek an answer to their longing. People on pilgrimage are seeking answers to questions, answers to meaning, some divine presence and sense of where they're going and where they need to be. And a labyrinth walk can serve as a form of pilgrimage as you seek answers, healing, or clarity on your spiritual path. I made a pilgrimage myself when I went to Chartres Cathedral in 2017. Unlike the medieval pilgrims who traveled in groups, I traveled alone. And what a challenging trip it was. Pretty much everything that could have gone wrong on that trip did, except all my transportation methods got me to my destination safely. I did feel very alone, and at times I felt afraid. But when I reflect back on the trip getting there, I realize that I was never really alone. I was supported by many strangers along my journey, from the woman on the street who tolerated my halting French because I couldn't find my way to the train station, to the police officer who endured my grateful hug when I was reunited with the luggage that I had lost. When I arrived at Chartres, it was late at night and everything was closed. I had no idea where to go. There was no one else at the train station and no one that I could call. All I knew was that my lodgings were near the cathedral. But where was the cathedral? Unlike when you're driving from a distance, it rises way up. When you're in the city, it's not apparent. And I was kind of looking for a big sign that said cathedral. Didn't find one. But I headed up a street that seemed like the right street to get there. And fortunately for me, there were people walking along the street, and I would call out, cathedral! And they would point. And I'd come to the next intersection, I'd call it, cathedral! And they'd point. I kept this up until I rounded the corner and saw this ahead of me. What a sight. It was nighttime, but the presence of the cathedral was so powerful. It felt totally surreal. There was an 11th century cathedral right in front of me. I almost wept with joy. I came to Chartres to walk the labyrinth with a group led by Lauren Artress, and it was like a dream come true. And it was actually felt like a real dream at the time because I'd been traveling for 26 hours. When I first saw the labyrinth, all I could think of were all the people throughout history who had walked it. All the people and their wishes and prayers and dreams and needs and challenges. The stones felt steeped in the history of those who had come before me. We had our walk on the second night. The labyrinth was only open on Friday mornings for the public. But thanks to Lauren Artress, we had a private closed walk after dark. It was a mystical experience. We came up a spiral staircase into the darkened cathedral with candles surrounding the labyrinth all around. We heard medieval music as a quartet sang softly. I thought I was in a dream. As I waited my turn to enter the labyrinth, I tried very hard to be present. I wanted to have my experience, not be analyzing it and evaluating it. I wanted to be there and have my experience. But it was so hard not to go, oh my God, I'm in Chartres Cathedral with Lauren Artress! I can see the labyrinth in my mind's eye, that labyrinth. I remember the feel of the stones under my feet. It is a very familiar path to me, and yet it felt new and mysterious. I had no agenda, no questions, just being present. And as I walked, I felt the turns working their magic on me, disorienting me and playing with my spirit. And then the center. I stood there and I took it all in, every angle, every view of the cathedral walls surrounding me. Then I closed my eyes to take it in, and suddenly I could see the walls of Grace Cathedral in clear relief, as if I was standing in the center of the labyrinth at Grace Cathedral. It was totally astonishing. And then just as suddenly I was in the meadow at UUSS, in the center of our labyrinth, and I could see all the trees surrounding us with total clarity. I kept my eyes closed, not knowing what to expect next, when I felt this powerful, powerful sense that I was standing in the center of every labyrinth, everywhere, and that I was accompanied by everyone who had ever walked the labyrinth throughout history. It was an overwhelming experience. In that moment, I transcended time and space. I want to go back to Chartres someday, and I will. But for now, I have plenty to process from that experience. I brought a great gift back from me on that pilgrimage. The gift of mystery, of connection, the power of the labyrinth to set us right and remind us of what is important. Through all its twists and turns, challenging and healing us, helping us to learn and grow, the greatest lesson of the labyrinth is this: we are one. Blessed be.